Hi, everyone, and welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to this year's Oscars. I'm Sophia Simonello.
And I'm Nick Werkraut.
And today we have a big episode. We are here with our Oscar nomination predictions. I'm not going to say final because this season has been so wacky and in flux, and we still are waiting on a number of precursors, but we're going to share our Oscar nomination predictions anyway, and we will be going through all of the categories except for our three shorts categories, live action, animated, and documentary short. We will, of course, cover those in more depth on our contender series after we see them.
This is by no means final today. Even going through things getting ready for this today, I was like, maybe we'll switch it day of. We'll probably switch it tomorrow. We'll switch it the next day. And I think I'm okay with that. I'm okay with just leaving it as, you know, we don't know who this fifth spot is going to. I need to not care. I need to not be worried about this one thing, because I will lose my mind if we do that for 20 different categories. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think this will be very fun today. I see in our outline that we do differ in some categories, quite a few, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, you know, we'll have some good conversation there. And even getting ready for this episode, we were like, okay, great, we're getting nominations on Friday morning. And then by the time we released the last episode, that got delayed to Sunday. And then as of recording now, we had a new announcement on January 13th saying that nominations were delayed again. So this is an ongoing thing due to the ongoing fires in Los Angeles. It's an awful scenario, and we feel for everyone as well. This isn't or shouldn't be the first thing on people's minds. We know it's that season, but this does not matter in the least to the long run compared to people losing their houses and their lives being just totally upended by this tragedy. So we will be covering them. But again, as things change and are delayed, we'll let you know via socials and our website. BAFTA nominations should be released on Wednesday. Again, TBD if that gets delayed. Long lists have been released. So we have some categories that will list where that's applicable. And then, like I said, with Oscar nominations, the voting window has now been extended as well through January 17th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So that's day of release of this recording. And then nominations will be announced Thursday, the 23rd at 5:30 a.m. Pacific time. It's a virtual event and there will be no in-person media. So again, if that changes again, we will let you know. But I'm excited for it today.
Yeah, I think it's always fun to go through our nomination predictions. But again, the most important thing right now is supporting the people of Los Angeles, the people in the industry who make these movies possible for us. And we will post some links in the episode description of places where you can donate items, different GoFundMe links you can donate to, and other local New York locations where you can take items, as we both live here. So it's a good thing, I think, that different guilds and the Academy are delaying the announcements. And really, I hope that they can find a way also to make the Oscars themselves a charity event and to donate money to the victims of these wildfires. But let's get right into our predictions. We're going to start out with our categories where we had Oscar shortlists. So a few weeks ago, we talked about these a little bit of what they are. And I know we've covered them in the past too, but we can start out with visual effects. So our guild here is VES, the Visual Effects Society. They tentatively are set to announce nominations this week. They also do typically have an in-person bake-off for all their nominees, but that's canceled this year. So members of this branch will get clips of each film that are submitted, and then they get to decide on nominees from there. So who do you have in this category?
So my predicted nominees, and these will all be listed alphabetically, and then we can talk about differences or where we have rankings along the way, but my predicted nominees here are Dune Part 2, Gladiator 2, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Twisters, and Wicked.
So we are 4 for 5 here. I do not have twisters and instead went with the theme of the monkeys or the apes here in this category. And I went with the Robbie Williams biopic Better Man, where, of course, he's depicted as a chimp. And I just, the reason why I went with this one, in addition to the other nominees that we share, is that here we have a CGI character that dominates the runtime of the film. And I'm imagining that the team behind Better Man will have a good reel to really showcase how and why they chose to depict Robbie Williams as a CGI chimp. And I think just the story behind that is interesting. So that's why I went with that here. But I think the other nominees here, they make a lot of sense. They're large scale. Gladiator 2 is interesting because I am just curious how that film will perform. Will it be something like Napoleon, where it surprises us and shows up in a number of categories, despite it not really seeming like people love that film? And I think I'm banking on that a little bit here. So that's why I went with the 5 that I did.
It is funny thinking about like chimps or any sort of monkey, because you do have 4 out of your 5 having one of those in them.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe even Dune does as well, but not mainly.
Not that comes to mind. I can't remember.
But you never know.
It's not what I think of with Dune Part 2.
I went with twisters partly because of them not having a bake-off. You know, it did really well with general audiences and it's memorable. It is a sequel, but the original was nominated in sound and visual effects. So could there be some carryover? Possibly. It wasn't shortlisted in sound, so that could hurt it there where there's no carryover. But I do have a question for you. Better Man went wide, I believe, this past weekend and has really bombed. I don't know if that's the best word to describe it, but it did not do well. Do you think without an in-person bake-off, that could really hurt it? And that maybe people, voting body members, haven't seen it yet?
I think that Better Man didn't do well because Americans are just not familiar with Robbie Williams as an artist. He never really carried over to America in the same way that he found success in the UK, for instance. And I think that's part of the reason why a Robbie Williams biopic didn't do as well, aside from Timothée Chalamet, of course, and his movie star power, as a Bob Dylan biopic or as a Queen biopic or as Rocket Man, an Elton John biopic, right? These artists were able to cross over to America, whereas Robbie Williams never really found success here. So I think part of the box office failure there is just because people don't know Robbie Williams here as well. And the concept is just interesting, right? It's a chimp. So I think people probably who saw the trailer even dozens of times like we did just didn't really know what to make of it. I have to tell you, I saw Better Man and I thought it was a way more inventive film than something like A Complete Unknown. So I would actually like for them to showcase that here. I thought it was pretty unique and I liked it more than I expected to. But I also think that because they do have a virtual component to the bake-off still, the members will still see these reels and have to watch them, that it could still get those votes.
I think it's one of the only potential nominees, shortlisted nominees, that I haven't seen yet outside of like documentary or some of the 15 international features. I don't necessarily want to go see this, but I have heard a lot of better praise or unexpected delight from people who have seen it. So what you're saying is not far off. Mm-hmm. If it is nominated, I will definitely go see it. The other reason I chose this, Twisters, you know, is maybe Lee Isaac Chung has some support in this branch. You know, not that Minari was here before, but, you know, a previous Oscar nominee. We were really excited for this for the first half of the year, for this to come.
Mm-hmm.
The other one maybe for me that might lead us into the next category is Alien Romulus. Looking back at the original film Alien and then Aliens, they both won visual effects. So is something like that where it doesn't necessarily feel like a nominee per se, but I feel like maybe something like that could get in.
Mm-hmm.
Also Deadpool and Wolverine, but I feel like this branch, other branches, just kind of stay away from Marvel.
Well, that's a big part of it. And I think Alien Romulus and Deadpool and Wolverine, you can actually talk about together because they have done really well with other guilds and with the shortlist so far. I think really appearing in places that people might not have expected. I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine in particular, as we talk about sound next, has a number of mentions across both sound guilds. But it really is just keeping in mind, I think, you know, is the anti-Marvel thing that we see sometimes with the Oscars of not embracing these films in the same way that guilds do, will that come through? Spoiler alert for my predictions, I don't have Deadpool and Wolverine getting in here for that very reason, but I won't be surprised if we do see a stray visual effects or sound nomination for it just because of how well it's done with the guilds so far.
Yeah, and we do have movies that show up with one nomination. And it's like, how did that happen? And again, I'm not going to worry about that. If it's Deadpool and Wolverine, that's another movie I'll have to watch that I haven't
seen. I've already seen it, so I've already crossed it off the list.
But let's get into sound because these are shortlisted nominees here. Our precursors here, we have the Cinema Audio Society and the Motion Picture Sound Editors, so that's sound mixing and sound editing separately. As we list our predictions, we can talk about those guilds and what they won, but what are your predictions here?
I have Alien Romulus, A Complete Unknown, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, and Wicked.
And we are 4 for 5 again. Instead of Alien Romulus, I have Gladiator 2. This is my question of, like you said, with Napoleon, will it show up? And maybe I'm leaving Gladiator 2 3 spots just in case. And I don't really feel strongly about this 5th spot. Like I was mentioning with Alien Romulus, this did fairly well with the Sound Editing Guild. But it feels like a weird nominee if it doesn't get visual effects to only show up in sound, which is a fairly big category. And we'll mention editing later, but sound and film editing always go together. And from potential movies missing there, which I'm terrified about, Alien Romulus, that's going to be a contender there? I don't think so. So that's why I'm not sure about this spot either. I'm kind of hoping it's The Wild Robot.
Yeah, I mean, you make a really good point about the crossover between editing and sound, and that's actually why I have predicted 4 of my nominees here, because I think that A Complete Unknown, Dune Part 2, and Emilia Perez are really likely to get editing nominations, and something like Wicked was also recognized by ACE, by the Editing Guild. So we have 4 right there, and then in looking for another nomination, I went with Alien Romulus for a very simple, ridiculous reason, which is just that it reminded me of the nomination we got last year for The Creator. So I was just thinking about how that kind of came through and felt really unexpected, but it was this sci-fi film that we saw on the shortlist and we wondered if anything would come of it. And I think, again, because of Alien Romulus's performance at the Guild so far, just getting recognized, that's why I went with it there. But I will also say that The Wild Robot did get an ACE Eddie mention in the animated feature category, as well as both guild nominations, CAS and MPSE. So I might switch to it just for fun because I love that movie.
Both of our picks, so Alien Romulus for you, Gladiator 2 for me, only have one of the guild mentions. Deadpool and Wolverine has both, with it having 3 nominations with the sound editors. So it feels stupid for me not to put that in. It's just the last Marvel sound nominee we had was Black Panther.
Yeah, and the thing with Black Panther too is that was also a Best Picture nominee, so it had a lot of support really across the board as a film, whereas Deadpool and Wolverine, who knows, maybe by the time we release this episode it has a PGA nomination, I don't know, but for now I'm not going to predict it.
That will come into play also with editing in terms of, you know, a film getting in, but maybe something having better Best Picture potential than another nominee. There are so many factors going into decisions here.
Next up, we have makeup and hairstyling. Our guild here is the Makeup and Hairstylist Guild. Who do you have predicted here?
So I have Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, A Different Man, Emilia Perez, The Substance, and Wicked.
We are 4 for 5 again. I don't have A Different Man. I have Waltzing with Brando, which when we talked about the shortlist here, that was the mention where everyone said, wait, what is that? Oh, the Billy Zane, Marlon Brando movie? What? That's here? And not something like A Complete Unknown or, I don't know, anything else that could have shown up here, I guess. But I went with this because I think sometimes we do have those one-off nominees that happen mm-hmm. that come from the bake-off or come from members viewing these films just as a set. And the other piece here, when I looked at it, we don't have any real people represented. And typically, I think we have a biopic performance or we have some sort of transformation. And we have some great makeup work here, I think, especially with The Substance in particular. I think hopefully that will cruise to a win. But I think transforming someone into Marlon Brando in a very convincing manner could be catnip to this branch. So it is kind of an out there prediction. I haven't seen too many people going with it. And I think it's just because people haven't seen it yet. But that's what I'm going with. I think the other four, though, feel pretty safe. The support for Emilia Perez across the board, which we'll talk about as we go through nominations today, can make it show up here. They've also really been doing a lot of FYCs about the makeup work, too. But I could see A Different Man, too. I could also see Nosferatu happening. I would mm-hmm. love that nomination. I think yeah. the makeup work in that, especially when we see Count Orlok, is pretty incredible.
That's my hope diction, is Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. My reasoning is pretty simple here. It's the guild. The hardest part for me was Dune Part 2 not getting in. Mm-hmm. You know, you had, from what I thought, the makeup was incredible in the first part and should have won. Why would that not show up here? And they mm-hmm. are doing just as much. So they yeah. weren't recognized with a nomination at the guild, whereas some of the other films, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, had 3. Wicked had 2. The Substance had 3. So I don't feel super strongly about A Different Man, but it was mentioned. And possibly Dune, maybe Nosferatu could show up there. But I do agree that Waltzing with Brando, it's a catchy title. You have the actors, either the actor playing him or Marlon Brando, yeah, attached mm-hmm. to it. And people think back to The Godfather, and maybe in memorializing that, they say, great, let's see this up there.
We never know. It's just, you know, sometimes it can feel too easy. And sometimes it is just the guild. But other times they will throw us an outside nominee. And then yep. we will find a way to watch Waltzing with Brando.
Next up, we have original score. So who are your predictions here?
I have The Brutalist, Challengers, which, you know, that's maybe a hope diction. I don't even know. Conclave, Emilia Perez, and The Wild Robot.
So I have the same 5. I think Challengers winning the Golden Globe was a good mm-hmm. boost that it needed. I don't know if that was those journalists just giving it to that because mm-hmm. they wanted to see that in here potentially also, but I think it definitely helped them. They have a nomination with the Hollywood Music and Movie Awards. That's one of the precursors. The other ones, I mentioned the Globes, but also the Society of Composers and Lyricists. And some of our predicted nominees, again, were nominated at one and not the other. The Brutalist was at the Society of Composers and Lyricists, while some were nominated at both. So I think Conclave, in this case, Emilia Perez, and The Wild Robot have a better chance of showing up, whereas they also have wins at one of the ceremonies as well.
This is a weird branch, and strange things can happen in this category that we've seen before. I think I'm predicting The Brutalist here just because of the strength and the beauty of that score. And even though Daniel Blumberg isn't as well known as some of the other composers that we have here, it reminds me actually a lot of how our composer for Poor Things got in here last year. And that was a very specific score. It went along with a film that was getting nominated in a number of categories. So I feel okay about predicting that here, as well as it being a Golden Globe nominee. I am wondering, my one outside shot here is if The Room Next Door can get in. I am surprised it didn't get in, to be honest, at the Golden Globes, because they tend to like the scores of Alberto Iglesias, the composer. But if we remember, he got in for Parallel Mothers, and he won an HMMA award. So I'm just saying it is possible that we could get, speaking of lone nominees, a lone score nominee for The Room Next Door.
Yeah, I don't think this is so nut. We also had a win for Nosferatu, and I love that score.
Love that score. Yeah, yes.
It's a great score. Thinking back to Emilia Perez, I had trouble because it was so high in others' predictions that I'm like, there's so much music. How can you differentiate the score from that? So I went back and listened to the score, and it does feel very quintessential to an Academy nomination. So I think that was an easy other one to slot in there. They had two wins with the HMMAs.
I think if we're thinking about Emilia Perez too, musical scores, like La La Land had two original song nominations and then one score. And that score, in the same way, I think, is really important to the film. I'll go on the record and say I far prefer the La La Land score and La La Land as a movie, but just making the comparison because we have musicals that could be both high nomination leaders. So I think score makes a lot of sense there for that one. Let's go right into song here. So for song, we have the same precursors, the Society of Composers and Lyricists, the HMMAs, as well as the Golden Globes. What do you have here for your nominees?
I have Compress Repress from Challengers, El Mal from Emilia Perez, The Journey from 6888, Kiss the Sky from The Wild Robot, and Mi Camino, also from Emilia Perez.
We have the exact same five. We had to hold a spot for The Journey from 6888 because Diane Warren has gotten in for much worse. And I think she's going to get in again. We just have to hold that spot for her there in our nominations. And the other four, I think, just feel like the safest picks here. But I don't know. I am, of course, worried about Challengers.
I think that's our fifth spot. The only other one, if we're looking at guilds, Never Too Late from Elton John, Never Too Late has a win, whereas Compress Repress doesn't. But again, just like in score, I feel like Challengers could be that fun surprise that we see nomination morning. Yes, I want that to happen, but it just feels like it could happen. And We've seen these five nominees that we've listed elsewhere. And yeah. I think it's starting to feel a little bit more secure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of the Disney movies or their songs have as much wide support as others have in the past. So I feel okay like leaving out Moana 2 or Mufasa here. I'm just going to stick with that. And I have seen Kneecap, which we'll talk about with International Feature, that was shortlisted there. That movie and the music is so explicit. I don't know if they're going to go for it or not.
Yeah, I could see that. But I could also see Kneecap being a fun surprise. I would keep my eye on Never Too Late for Elton John, Never Too Late, because this is, of course, Elton John and Brandi Carlile. And they're both really, I think, beloved, obviously, in the industry and the music industry in particular. So I could see this branch finding it hard to resist that pair. Even though Elton John has won before, Brandi Carlile has not. So I wouldn't be surprised for that. I also wouldn't dislike that nomination at all, but I do think it would come at the expense of Challengers, unfortunately.
Another double I think we could see, or at least just be on the lookout, is Harper and Will Go West from Will and Harper. Mm-hmm. If maybe they really love that movie, we could see that show up here in song and then also in documentary feature, which we'll get to in a few categories. Maybe that happens. Again, I don't have that predicted, but I mentioned Kneecap. Let's get right into international feature. What are your predictions here?
This is where I'm taking a big swing that I've been thinking about for weeks now. My predicted nominees are Emilia Perez, How to Make Millions Before Grandma Dies, I'm Still Here, Kneecap, and Vermilio.
We are 4 for 5. I have The Seed of the Sacred Fig instead of Vermilio. If that's your swing, we need to talk about why we have How to Make Millions Before Grandma Dies in here. And for me, it made me think of Lunana, A Yak in the Classroom from Bhutan a few years ago. I think this title is super wacky. It's out there. And this is also the first Thai film to ever be shortlisted. Out of their 31 entries, this is their first one. And it did so well in Asia. So I think it has a good shot. Why Vermilio?
Well, first on How to Make Millions Before Grandma Dies, I think it is an irresistible title. And that, I think, can work in film's favor sometimes, in addition to just being an acclaimed film and one that people are talking about. So Vermilio has, for me, I think maybe it's more of why do I have Seed of the Sacred Fig missing than why do I have Vermilio included? Because Vermilio has shown up on a number of lists. It's also from a country, Italy, that does fairly well historically in this category with nominations. The reason why I have The Seed of the Sacred Fig missing is because I think that, and I know people will call me crazy for this, and that's fine. I think that it's very possible, even likely, that it could get in, but I also predicted Decision to Leave to miss a few years ago, because sometimes what happens is we have these predicted nominees that feel like givens, but when you actually drill down into the film's performance throughout award season or what people are saying about the film, it's not as acclaimed as you might expect. And for example, at the Palm Springs International Film Festival just yesterday, I'm Still Here took home the top prize. I just saw I'm Still Here, and I wish it could win this category. And I wish Fernanda Torres had a shot to win actress, too. So that is higher up for me. But I think that for The Seed of the Sacred Fig, all season we expected, you know, will Mohammed Rasoulof get into director? Will this film get into screenplay? And we just haven't seen it perform yet. We've seen nominations, but we haven't seen wins. We haven't seen passion for it in the same way that I think we've seen it for some of the other films. And to me, the second you open it up and you say, okay, if you're opting in, because Academy members to vote here, they have to opt in. It's open to all branch members, but you have to view all 15 films that are shortlisted. Suddenly, if you consider a movie a given, let's say, you might vote for something else or something that maybe surprised you will get in. And that, to me, is Vermilio or The Girl with the Needle, and not necessarily The Seed of the Sacred Fig. So again, it's just a swing that I'm taking. But for me, this movie has performed in ways that I haven't expected this year.
The Seed of the Sacred Fig comes from Germany, which has also done very well at the Oscars. We saw The Teacher's Lounge nominated there last year. So I'm going to hold on to it. It hasn't been winning, but it's been around for a while. I wish it had been doing better. Is it too strong of a subject matter for voting bodies or people to have it winning places? Possibly. But it's also so timely and pertinent, and having real videos from the Iran protests in the film was a good kind of shocking for me. I adored that movie. I do wish The Girl with the Needle had a better chance of making it in here. It has shown up at some of the guilds with nominations for like cinematography that made me really happy. But I also think that that is an incredibly dark movie and has a lower chance of showing up instead of something like The Seed of the Sacred Fig. I also wasn't as big of a fan of Vermilio as some of the other ones. The only one I haven't seen is the Thai film from our predicted nominees, at least. But we'll see. Yeah, this can be a category also where they kind of throw us a rogue nominee based on its subject matter or country of origin. It just depends. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's also not surprising, maybe for people who've seen Vermilio, that I liked that film a lot more than you would. I think it is slice of life and a little bit slower. So those are two of the things that I really enjoy. So maybe that's why I'm going with it. But yeah, a lot could happen in this category. I think we could have some great nominees and some very interesting picks for sure. Speaking of documentary feature, this always, I think, surprises us and throws us for a loop here a little bit. Our precursors, we have the Cinema Eye Honors and the IDA Awards. Who are your predicted nominees?
I have Black Box Diaries, Daughters, No Other Land, Sugarcane, and Will and Harper. What about you?
We are 4 for 5 again. I don't have Will and Harper. I have Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, which is a really beautiful documentary. And I went with this because sometimes they like music documentaries here too. And I think this one could appeal to their sensibilities. And sometimes this branch is a little bit snobby with the celebrity talking head doc. And I think Will and Harper is beautiful. I loved that documentary. I could have watched them together in the car for another 2 hours. But I'm wondering if this could be that big movie that hits everywhere all season and then misses Oscar, like sometimes we see with this branch.
I totally agree. This is one of those categories I'm putting something in and forgetting about it. I also think that movie could be Dahomey, where it has shown up in so many places, won awards. And even though it's a shorter film, doesn't feel like the Academy would go for it. It's too experimental or different. Yeah, I don't know. And I haven't seen Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, but it feels a little bit like that as well. In terms of the precursors with its guilds, we have lots of wins here and more nominees. So across the board, almost every single one has a nomination or multiple to its name. So it's kind of hard to look there. And this is another one where those don't always correlate to nominations. So I'm going with this. I didn't go with the song, even though I have Will and Harper in here, but I'm kind of just going off potentially the love for that movie, it being distributed by Netflix, having wide appeal. You have Will Ferrell attached to it. Some of it doesn't work for me, but I think, you know, having a conversation like this between friends, it's an easy watch. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe it could appeal to voters in that way.
Yeah, I think so too. Next, let's get into animated feature. Our precursors here are the Golden Globes, of course, and the Annie Awards, which have a number of categories. There are so many Annie nominations, I feel like, every single year. Just like the Visual Effects Society, I feel like a movie can get like 5 nominations at the Guild. So here I have Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and The Wild Robot.
I have the same 5. This is a category I oddly feel pretty good about because, again, we've seen these 5 show up. And even though we have a few potential spoilers, they haven't really come across in different ceremonies. And this is pretty solid. And it's actually a pretty good group.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I really enjoy quite a few of these. I would say my least favorite is Inside Out 2, which I didn't even dislike. I just liked the others a lot more. The Wild Robot, Flow, Memoir of a Snail. That made me cry. Mm-hmm. Wallace and Gromit. I always love Aardman and a Wallace and Gromit film. So happy to see that here. But yeah, I feel pretty confident in these five too, and feel like this will be our Oscar five.
Yeah. Getting into costume design, our precursor here is the Costume Design Guild. And their nominees, they have different categories, which we can talk about with our predictions. They have contemporary, period, and sci-fi fantasy. That kind of goes across with multiple guilds that we'll get into from here on out. But who do you have predicted here?
I have Dune Part 2, Gladiator 2, Maria, Nosferatu, and Wicked.
I have the same five.
Okay. I think there are some other things that we could see pop up that wouldn't be too surprising. I think one that has been having a really good guild performance, but that actually didn't show up with the Costume Designers Guild, is a complete unknown. Ariane Phillips did the costumes for that movie, and she was also nominated for her work in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So if they really love that film, I could see that coming in here. Also Conclave, all of the different robes and cassocks and the nuns' habits, everything that they wear there. I think it's also just volume, in addition to the costumes being quite beautiful. And if they really love that film, that could come up. I think the big question mark is Maria, a film that has kind of flopped this season, unfortunately, despite being really beautiful. But I put it here because the costume designer is Massimo Cantini-Parini, who has surprised us in this category with two films that were completely underseen. We had, like we talked about before, Pinocchio from Matteo Garrone. This was the version of Pinocchio with Roberto Benigni. And then also Cyrano. Now, he was nominated with Jacqueline Duran for that, but Cyrano was a film that also people wondered what they were doing with the release strategy. Peter Dinklage didn't end up getting in, even though he had been predicted throughout the season, and I think gives a really good performance in that movie. But he got in for those. So I'm just wondering if maybe that branch just really likes him and he could make it in here despite the film not being really celebrated.
So something I look at from year to year, usually we have some crossover between costume design and makeup and hairstyling. And from my predictions, I only have one. That does not make me feel too good. That one is Wicked, which I think that's happening. That's fine. I think yours is the same. Yeah. I think Conclave is the one to watch, because as we're going through nominations and building our ballots, Conclave is racking up its nominations. It has a good chance of winning Best Picture, potentially. So if we're looking at guilds, like, why wouldn't it show up here? If there is that much wide support for it, I think it could. It's crazy to me just how far Maria has fallen, because from the opening minutes of that movie, maybe if voters only made it 5 minutes into that movie and then they wanted to turn it off, they have already seen 30 plus dresses and costumes and hats and just beautiful shots in everything that Angie does. So I really want that to show up here. It's my favorite of the Lorraine trilogy. And I'm hoping for something like Nosferatu, which is period, but is such a strong contender.
I wonder if Nosferatu being considered a period film and not in the fantasy category maybe helps it a little bit. I mean, these branches in particular don't really mind horror work as much as some of the others. Like, if we think about Coppola's version of Dracula, that one costume design. So I don't think we have the same sort of bias here that we might have in other categories. And I think the costumes are stunning. You have a lot of corsets and hats, suiting. You have a lot of different options here that I think they'll really like. And I always try to have some crossover between costume design and production design. So we can get into that one next, because I have an overlap of three there. And I'm starting to think, you know, maybe you're right about Conclave getting into costume design the more and more I'm thinking about it.
my other thing with costume design here is that maybe Beetlejuice has some potential. Another big one, I think, you know, besides Conclave, I think, yes, Emilia Perez, potentially, like when you think of Zoe Saldana dancing and singing, it's her in that red suit. There are multiple dresses, you know, it's very vibrant and colorful. That could play well with voters. The other one that has just been doing better and better is The Substance. What do you think of with that movie? Yes, blood and Monster Eliza Sue, but you think of Demi Moore wearing that yellow jacket. Also colorful and vibrant. Like, why not? And if something like The Brutalist isn't going to show up here, at least we don't have it predicted, but, you know, where they have similar looking formal attire and beautiful jackets and sweaters and blazers, whatever the case may be, why not The Substance?
You know, two women in history have made me think, could I wear yellow? Shelley Duvall in Three Women and Demi Moore in The Substance. So Demi, you're in good company there. I do love that yellow coat. You also think about Sue's pink metallic leotard. I don't know. I feel like I'm not going to go that far in predicting it. Could be a fun nomination. Beetlejuice, I do like that because that's Colleen Atwood, who is a big name.
Right, yeah.
Like Sandy Powell or Jacqueline Duran or Janti Yates, who did Gladiator 2. You start thinking about, okay, who do they like in this branch? Who have they worked with? Who are their friends? Who continues to do good work? Who's a multi-nominee? And then it starts to paint a different picture. So I wouldn't be surprised if this category turned out in a number of ways.
Yeah.
Furiosa is another one that's interesting because that is Jenny Bevan, who's been nominated and who won for Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
But Furiosa, just with its performance, blanking on the shortlist, I don't think we'll end up seeing that either. But it's a good category. Like, I like most of these that have appeared at the guilds. I wish The Brutalist would be here too. I love, love, love those costumes. It reminds me a bit of the Oppenheimer nomination last year, but it is missing at the guild. So it makes you wonder, did they just not like it? Or is it a timing thing too, where maybe they just didn't see it in time?
Next, we have production design. Our precursors here, we have the Art Designers Guild and the Set Decorators Society of America. Who do you have predicted here?
I have The Brutalist, Conclave, Gladiator 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked.
We are 4 for 5. I have Dune Part 2 instead of Nosferatu.
That's probably smart. I think I'm going with my heart over my head here, potentially. But I don't know. I think seeing the nominations in the period category, both at SDSA and ADG, our two guilds, I feel like they have to honor that carriage and Count Orlok's castle and those coffins and all of those things that we see in Nosferatu. But again, this could just be me wanting something to happen here and completely misreading the signs. I just couldn't get rid of it.
Again, I would love to see it. My thought is maybe if Dune really underperforms, because when that movie came out and you saw that arena and you see the sand, yes, you know, you can roll your eyes if you want, but just the beauty in some of those shots and places, sets that they constructed were out of this world, literally. But that's all we were talking about in the first quarter of the year.
I know.
And now it's the next year and we're not. And I think that's just a release date issue. I think the work should be nominated, but, you know, if it's not and we don't see it here, maybe we don't see it in costume in some of those others, like we were talking about, Conclave, Emilia Perez, The Substance, ones that have been growing, maybe they get slotted in instead.
Mm-hmm. With Dune Part 2, I also wonder if, because Dune Messiah is coming, we're going to get that sequel treatment like Two Towers, where it just doesn't do as well because people are either saying, we've done this before with Dune, right? Like, we've awarded this already, even though we know there are plenty of new things in Dune Part 2. or it's a we can wait to give this movie more awards with Dune Messiah. So yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Dune performs. Another one I'm keeping my eye on is a complete unknown, just like I mentioned in costume design, because I think I mentioned this on a review, but I loved the production design. I thought it was really beautiful and, you know, recreating Newport Folk Festival, Greenwich Village in that time period too. I think it's really great work. So if that movie's performance continues to grow like it did with the guilds, I think we could see it popping up here as well. The only ones I'm really confident in are Wicked and The Brutalist.
I feel pretty good about Conclave.
I mean, they recreated the Vatican. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's cool. Next, we have cinematography. Our precursors here are ASC, the American Society of Cinematographers. We don't have the nominations for those yet. We do have the British Society of Cinematographers, the BSC. So that's another guild that you can look to. Another sort of out there ceremony, the Camera Image Golden Frog Awards. We look at those sometimes too. So those are our big precursors. But who do you have predicted here? This is always a fun category. Sometimes scary too.
So I'm going 4 for 5 with BSC. My predictions are The Brutalist, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Nickel Boys, and Nosferatu.
So I'm also going 4 for 5 with BSC, which is a really good predictor. So if you look historically, BSC is a pretty good one to look at. I don't have Dune Part 2, though. I have Emilia Perez.
We haven't mentioned that one too much lately. That's probably my alt is Emilia, because I think it's going to show up really strong in Crafts. And when you put music together with how they filmed those scenes, and we're already talking sound, song, score, now we're at cinematography, and you know, you have costumes in there. It's just, it starts to build, and it seems like an easy nomination for it. This is a big one too, I think, when we think of picture and winners and, you know, having some of those key craft nominations, and that would be an easy one to slot in also.
Mm-hmm. The other thing here too is that the DP, Paul Guillaume, won the Bronze Frog at the Camera Image. So at that ceremony, the three winners that we had were The Girl with the Needle, which I would love. I would scream if that showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Would love that. I think it's so beautifully shot. Emilia Perez got bronze, and then The Brutalist got silver. So if we're thinking of crossover there and with BSC, Emilia seems pretty strong. I do not like the way that movie looks. Nickel Boys, I am really worried about. And I did not think I would be saying that months ago. I think there's also a world we have to consider where a complete unknown gets in here. And this is like the fifth time I've said this, but I could see him getting in ASC. Papa Michael, the cinematographer, he got in for The Trial of the Chicago 7, which is so visually bland to me. And his work in A Complete Unknown is much better. I still don't love it, but that could be something where that gets in instead of Nickel Boys or something like that. And I just, I don't know. Nickel Boys is so beautiful, but I'm just worried.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about it.
Not something I want to think about. Let's move right on, because I really need Nickel Boys to show up there too.
Yeah.
Our next category is film editing. Our precursor, the Ace Eddie Awards, the American Cinema Editors. We have two categories here, drama and comedy. We'll talk about those along the way, but who are your predictions?
My predicted nominees are Anora, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, and Emilia Perez.
We're still 4 for 5. This is the one that hurts, because as we have it in our outline, I have The Brutalist, and that didn't show up at Ace, which is a big red flag. I'm going to go with the guild here, but I'm going to say Challengers instead of A Complete Unknown.
Wow. I love it. I hope Challengers gets in.
Oh my God.
I mean, here's the thing. I think that with The Brutalist, what's hard for me isn't the guild miss as much as it's not showing up on the BAFTA long list. That was so bizarre. and I don't really understand. I think it's partially because with the Guild, our editor for The Brutalist, he's not in the Guild. He's in the HSC, which is the Hungarian Society of Editors. And I mean, that could also be part of the reason why, but a complete unknown also missed Ace. If you look at the nominees, they're all early releases. So I'm wondering if that's a part of why a complete unknown miss, especially because our editor is a winner. He won for Ford v Ferrari, which is why I'm putting that here, as well as the sound nomination too. So I'm just thinking of it that way. But if The Brutalist gets in because they love the movie, I'm not going to be mad about that, obviously. But I can't predict it, unfortunately, because of its performance in this category so far. So that's why I'm going with the complete unknown. Would love for challengers to show up, though. And like I mentioned earlier, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, and A Complete Unknown have sound crossover for me, too. And then my two others don't, Anora and Conclave. But I think I'm banking on Anora being strong-ish in picture, which is why I'm putting it there.
Yeah.
And Conclave, I think, has potential to win Ace Drama.
My other one that made the Guild, that I'm also thinking maybe it's not The Brutalist, it's not Challengers, it's Wicked. That could happen. Another stat that I looked at and I kept going back and I'm like, they're all showing up. It was at Ace. It was three from the drama category and two from comedy that make the Oscar nominations. The last movie that broke this was The Father, which wasn't nominated at Ace and kind of just showed up unexpectedly a little bit. The thing that's different here that The Father is not The Brutalist is that The Father wasn't going to win Best Picture. And The Brutalist not having the film editing nomination, it's a little alert, I would say. But for a movie like Wicked, again, beloved in multiple crafts above, below the line, I think it could show up too. And it having that Ace nomination secures it.
I think so too. It'll be interesting. I'm rooting for The Brutalist to make a surprise appearance. Next, we have original screenplay. Our precursors here, we have the Golden Globes, which of course combine their screenplay categories into original and adapted, and our WGA nominations, which the Writers Guild just announced, this is a live update as of recording, that their nomination announcement is delayed indefinitely due to the fires. So we don't know when those will come out, but a lot of movies this year are ineligible at the WGA. So there are a lot of rules that the Writers Guild of America has. And so it's difficult to really use that as a predictor sometimes anyway. But who do you have for your original screenplay nominees?
I have Anora, The Brutalist, Hard Truths, A Real Pain, and The Substance.
Okay, we are 4 for 5. I do not have Hard Truths. I have All We Imagine as Light instead, the Payal Kapadia film, which should be winning international feature, but is ineligible because India didn't select it.
So three of mine are ineligible with the WGA. And again, that's not necessarily something that will hurt it. I mean, it could hurt something like Hard Truths, where the mention would be a big thing in terms of voters seeing that and wanting to nominate it. But The Brutalist, Hard Truths, and The Substance are all ineligible there. But 4 out of the 5 are on the BAFTA long list. I'm shocked that Hard Truths isn't. Maybe that's a red flag.
It was surprising to me because Mike Lee is Mike Lee. So for him to not show up with the BAFTA, it's like, what are we doing here? But I think with Mike Lee's screenplays, while if you watch a Mike Lee film, you can think, oh, this should definitely get nominated for screenplay. The dialogue is incredible. The scenes feel so written and thoughtful. But if you hear about his process, so much of it is created in rehearsal. It's the actors creating these characters, and it's a very unorthodox creative process and different from anything that the other writers here are doing. So I'm wondering if that's also part of it, in addition to Bleecker Street being the distributor, which we've talked about. I went with All We Imagine as Light just because I think that that film has demonstrated love and support internationally. Payal Kapadia received a DGA nomination for first time director. So I think that this could be one of those places where the love for that film could show up.
And next we have adapted screenplay, Saint Precursors. We could mention what's ineligible and then on the long list, but what do you have predicted here?
I have A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, and Sing Sing.
We're 4 for 5. I have Wicked instead of A Complete Unknown, but I will say my alt is that. So we're not far off.
Yeah, the only reason I don't have Wicked here is just because of how they treat musicals. And because I have Emilia Perez already getting in, I didn't want to take two musicals here. I just wanted to have the one. And I feel like, again, A Complete Unknown, it's written by Jay Cox. Again, even though I don't love the screenplay for A Complete Unknown, it's by a writer who I think is well respected by this branch. So I'm going with that instead of Wicked.
And looking at what's ineligible, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Sing Sing, all ineligible. Also The Wild Robot, that would be a fun inclusion. And then on the long list, we have A Complete Unknown, Conclave, even Dune Part 2. We don't have that in our predictions, but Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, Sing Sing, and Wicked. So that's some of the reason why we have some in, not others. Another thing, as we're looking here and a little bit back in original screenplay for me, was, you know, Wicked potentially, again, doing well above the line, but in acting, as we get into those next, you know, will Cynthia Erivo get in? Could this get a boost from how well it's doing with Ariana Grande or with the SAG Awards that had other nominees, Jonathan Bailey? Hard Truths, an original, I was like, well, maybe that could boost Marianne in getting in. Something like that, where it's a dual nomination in a way, or they're just linked together.
I am really scared here again about Nickel Boys, but I think this is the category where I'm most certain about it. Certainty is probably a bad thing, like they say in Conclave, but I feel most confident that Nickel Boys can show up here because that is just such a tremendous feat of adaptation. So holding out hope for it. I think that and Nickel Boys have been so wobbly this season with performing, but I'm hoping that we could see both of those here. Okay, time to get into acting. So these are always fun, and the SAG nominations really threw a wrench in these. So let's see how they go. For a supporting actor, and these will be the same for all of our categories, our precursors here, we have the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards. Who are your predicted nominees?
I have Yor Borisov for Anora, Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain, Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce for The Brutalist, and Denzel Washington for Gladiator 2.
We are 4 for 5. It pains me to say this, but I took out Denzel.
Oh no.
And I have Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. So I was thinking about this, and they love Denzel. How does Denzel got nominated for Roman J. Israel Esquire? How do they deny him here? But he made SAG for that movie, and he didn't make SAG for a very loud, fun performance. And he's Denzel Washington. And that to me is a bad sign, especially when we don't know how the movie's going to perform. And something like The Apprentice showed up in a number of BAFTA long list categories, which is clearly still around. And Jeremy Strong doesn't have a nomination yet, and he's so good in this movie. I don't say that lightly. Like, as Roy Cohn, I was horrified by that. I mean, Roy Cohn is a horrible person, and I feel like Jeremy Strong really understood that and gave a really, really good performance. That is also something that I think actors will connect with, and they clearly did with the SAG nominating committee. So That's why I'm putting that here. I know we don't have The Apprentice predicted anywhere else, and we do have Gladiator 2 in some places, but for me, I'm going with Jeremy Strong, and I think we could see a Roy Brothers showdown here from Succession, where Kieran Culkin, our season sweeper, aka Roman Roy, will take the crown from poor Kendall.
That would be such a narrative that I don't need, but it would be fun, you know, carrying over from the Emmys where they've won. SAG just kind of threw a wrench in everything. The only nominees that cross over from there are Yura Borisov, Kieran Culkin, and Edward Norton. So that really bumped up Edward, but we also saw a complete unknown, again, with DGA and other ceremonies that all of this support was building. So that really boosted him there, and it boosted Yura for me too. So I put him in second. I think it comes down to the fifth spot, once again, not really knowing. You can't count out Denzel because he's Denzel, but
yeah,
I'm curious about Clarence Macklin. The Apprentice is the only SAG-nominated movie I haven't seen, so I need to get on that too. But with Clarence Macklin and Sing Sing, again, this movie underperforming in the past couple weeks, but we have its re-release coming as of release today. It'll be out nationwide, hopefully in more theaters than it was previously. But they also just announced that they'll be performing the original cast from Sing Sing. All of the inmates are performing the play from the end of the movie in New York. And I think that would be exciting press for them, but also just to, again, show their acting abilities and as a cast, as an ensemble, what that meant in the film and how that has sustained itself. So I'm hoping Clarence could make it in, because we were talking about him the majority of 2024, and now it may not happen. But again, I think things are so up in the air just between different categories. And depending on, you know, who made the BAFTA long list, who showed up at SAG. But Clarence did make the long list. So did Guy Pearce. So did Denzel. But then so did Jeremy.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think that Guy Pearce not showing up at SAG doesn't really sound any alarms for me, because I never thought that movie was going to be a SAG movie. It really, like, Felicity Jones and Guy Pearce missing SAG makes complete sense to me. I think Guy Pearce maybe less so, just because he is this veteran actor, but he's someone also who just hasn't gotten his due over the years. So I'm hoping a nomination is here, and I think it's very possible. I still have him in, but it's an interesting one because I don't know. I feel like oddly good about Jeremy Strong getting in, because I think everything was Sing Sing for me. It's just like, I know Jane Fonda compared Clarence Macklin to Marlon Brando, but
yes,
it might just be too little too late. I think they were really banking on this having A24, maybe was banking on this having a coda like run, you know, with SAG. It could be something that got just a few nominations, and then in phase two it pulled out those wins. But what we are seeing is that it didn't get ensemble. Should have been something it was a shoe-in for, but it didn't. So I don't know about Clarence Macklin, so that's why I'm going with Jeremy Strong instead.
Well, voters, if you're listening to this at 6 a.m. when this episode comes out, you have 9 hours to go see this movie.
But I also would encourage people to vote for Jeremy Strong, too, because he is really good.
I'll get to that one, but let's move on to supporting actress. Who are your predicted nominees?
Okay, so I have a last minute switch here that I'm going with, and I'm so sorry to disturb everyone with what I'm about to reveal. I have Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown, Jamie Lee Curtis for The Last Showgirl, Ariana Grande for Wicked, Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, and Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez.
Wow. I have 3 for 5. So instead of Monica and Jamie, I have Felicity Jones and Margaret Qualley.
I think that makes sense. I maybe leaned a little too heavily on SAG here, but I am thinking about, you know, Monica Barbaro playing a real person in Joan Baez. She gives the best performance in that movie, I think, full stop, and had the hardest job in that movie. Replicating her voice, my God, I do not know how she did it. And she's amazing. I think, again, with the surge of that movie, I just can see her getting in. And with Jamie Lee Curtis, this is me being cynical, but again, like, if you think about these people voting for their friends, Jamie Lee Curtis has been everywhere. And it could be that Afterglow nomination not too far after her win.
Mm-hmm. I think her showing up, so we'll have to wait to see with actress. I think her showing up is very much tied to Pamela Anderson. And the thing, though, is, you know, she showed up at SAG. She wasn't on the BAFTA long list. And that's kind of how some of these acting nominees go, is they've shown up in one place, they haven't the other. What weight does SAG carry or the BAFTA long list carry over one another? And then it becomes this like percentile difference that mm-hmm. like someone could happen and someone might get pushed out. So mm-hmm. I'm just kind of going with what I feel. So I'm feeling the surge for the substance and mm-hmm. Margaret Qualley being in the conversation, being tied to Demi Moore. I think this is our issue too, is we have multiple actors that work together, that are in scenes together, that are important to the film. Felicity Jones also, she has an incredible Oscar scene, but I'm not saying Monica Barbaro doesn't, or Jamie Lee Curtis. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. it just will probably depend. And I know that SAG is our best barometer for that, or our biggest guild in the Academy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the only people I feel really confident in are Zoe and Ariana. And then I think Isabella Rossellini will get in on the strength of that movie, but also she's a veteran actor who hasn't been recognized here before, even though her performance has limited screen time. I will say I went to a Conclave screening with industry and people were clapping and cheering for her after her scene where she curtsies.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. It feels like something that could happen. But yeah, I hope you're right. I would love for Margaret Qualley to get in. Felicity Jones, I'm less high on that performance than the other two in The Brutalist. But if they really like that movie, which I also think will benefit from the international voters in the Academy, I think it is a movie that clearly, if we look at how well it did at the Golden Globes or how it did at Venice, it winning these random industry prizes or film festival prizes abroad, I think we could see that here come through. Next, we have Best Actor. Who do you have here? A little easier, maybe, than Supporting Actress.
Yeah. I don't know about this winner as much. I think that's the question. But I have Adrian Brody, Timothée Chalamet, Daniel Craig, Colman Domingo, and Ralph Fiennes.
I have the exact same five. I just needed to see Daniel Craig get the SAG nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, okay, I feel good predicting these five here. But I will say that there's a possibility that Sebastian Stan could get in for The Apprentice. I have him listed as my alternate just because I have Jeremy Strong getting in for that movie. And it's possible that he could come along too. We could have two nominations there. But I do think Sebastian Stan is potentially hurt by the fact that he has two films in the same category. He's campaigning for both of them, A Different Man and The Apprentice. And there might be some confusion with voting. Yeah. He might end up drawing votes somewhere else and not getting enough to put him over the finish line. So that's why he's my alternate for now. But I wouldn't be surprised if he made it in somehow. But I think it would be in Daniel Craig's spot because Queer would be a lone nominee.
Yeah. Colman Domingo was also Sing Sing's only SAG nomination with Sebastian Stan. He won in comedy musical at the Globes for A Different Man, but then he's on the BAFTA long list for The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that vote splitting is definitely an issue. I thought maybe Jesse Eisenberg would have won the Golden Globe, and he could have been our potential fifth instead of Daniel Craig. But I think this five, again, showing up in multiple places, I'm feeling pretty confident. Let's talk about our favorite acting category, best actress. Who do you have here?
Oh, I do not feel good about this category at all. It's been so crazy and all over the place this year. I have Pamela Anderson for The Last Showgirl, Carla Sofia Gascon for Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore for The Substance, and Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here.
Another category kind of like supporting actor. We are 3 for 5. I have Cynthia Erivo and Marion Jean-Baptiste instead of Pamela and Fernanda. I would love to see Fernanda. I think the weight there is probably better to rely on the Golden Globe win in helping her than Marianne having the stat of winning New York, LA, and the National Society of Film Critics and being the only woman of color to have done that. But I'm, like I mentioned earlier, hoping for, you know, the Hard Truths writing nomination to help her here. It's also just one of the best performances of the year, and I know that doesn't really mean anything, but I would love to see her here. The Last Showgirl getting the SAG bump is maybe why you have Pamela in here. But yeah, what do you think about, I'm surprised you didn't have Cynthia in, because I think her SAG nomination secured her for me, even though even a couple weeks ago, I had her pretty low, or I don't even know if I had her in.
Yeah, I mean, for Cynthia Erivo, this was a tough one for me, and it's just a feeling I have that this category could be all over the place this year, which is that there are a few things. Every year, we have someone who hits everything and then misses Oscar, and I feel like Cynthia Erivo, unfortunately, Ariana Grande kind of sucks the attention away from her. If you're thinking about Wicked, I feel like that is, unfortunately, the performance that people are thinking of. I mean, Glinda as a character is in more scenes in the movie than she is in the musical. So I think that people come away and leave that movie thinking about Ariana Grande. I think Cynthia Erivo is great in the movie and think she would be deserving of a nomination, but I'm just worried that this is the kind of thing where it just is more on the bubble than we think. And to be cynical about it, this branch is not great at nominating Black women. And I mean, we think about The Woman King, which wasn't as strong, but someone like Viola Davis, who was showing up everywhere, then suddenly misses Oscar nomination morning. Or, you know, a different example is if we're thinking about something that's really strong in Best Picture, Cynthia Erivo, she's the lead of a movie that is really celebrated. What happened last year? Margot Robbie didn't show up for Barbie somehow. She had hit everywhere, but then the lead of that movie doesn't get in, and the supporting actress gets in instead, and the supporting actor who had somehow taken the attention away from her in that movie. So I'm wondering if we have a case here where she's more on the bubble than we think. Now, she of course could get in, and I won't be surprised if she does, but that's kind of my line of thinking there. With Marion Jean-Baptiste, I would vote for her, I think, if she were here. I think that performance is phenomenal, and she's giving a masterclass in it. But there are certain signs that I just can't ignore with that performance and where it's shown up this award season. I also think, unfortunately, and this is not the way that I think about acting, but she is a difficult character, and we've seen what this branch thinks of, quote, difficult women. Mm-hmm. And it's not always positive. And I fear that could affect her along with Bleecker Street. Whereas I think Demi Moore, Mikey Madison, and Carla Sofia Gascon are both in, they're all in stronger movies. Fernanda Torres, her win came at the exact right time too. And it's an amazing performance too. We have so many great actress contenders in the conversation this year. And she has Sony Pictures Classics. They know how to run a campaign for their actors. I have Pamela here because I was talking to our friend Kevin Jacobson about this, and we were just thinking about how last year Annette Bening got in for NIAID here, mm-hmm. and that was a surprise. And not that Pamela Anderson has had the same career as Annette Bening, she hasn't, but I could see that pair potentially getting in Pamela Anderson and Jamie Lee Curtis. But, you know, the night before, I might switch it and I might put Erivo back in. But Fernanda Torres, I will say she's here to stay for me. She is in. I am predicting her. I'm just pushing all my chips in for Fernanda Torres. It could be recency bias, too, because I just saw her performance. But
yeah,
I don't know.
And the thing with the precursors, so BAFTA Long List, Golden Globe, and SAG, we have Mikey Madison, Demi Moore, Carlos Sofia Gascon, and Cynthia Erivo all hitting those. Everyone else either only has one or two. The people mm-hmm. with two who have BAFTA and the Golden Globe are Nicole Kidman and Amy Adams, who we don't think, sadly, are happening. So if you take them out, then we're only looking at people who have one of the three precursors. And that obviously just doesn't feel good. My only thing with Marianne was that when I was looking back, and again, different studios, and I agree about Bleecker Street and the performance being difficult too, but Penelope Cruz with Parallel Mothers, she wasn't BAFTA shortlisted in that year, 2022. Similarly to Kristen Stewart, who was shortlisted but Miss SAG, and Penelope Miss SAG. So it's like, again, this could be a mix and come down to fewer votes in who that fifth spot goes to. But I feel more confidently, I would say, about Cynthia Erivo than Marianne. And I would, again, if either of them gets in, I'm happy about it. I'm just going to be upset if someone misses. Mm-hmm. But I do really enjoy both of those performances.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm curious to see how it shakes out. That's for sure. Next, we have director. Our precursors here are the Golden Globes and the Directors Guild of America, or the DGA. They have released their nominations. Who do you have predicted here?
I have Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez, Sean Baker for Anora, Edward Berger for Conclave, Brady Corbet for The Brutalist, and Coralie Farjah for The Substance.
I am the same five.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It pains me to not have Ramel Ross here for Nickel yeah, Boys.
I know. He's in my fifth spot, also with James Mangold, who made the DGA. That was a big shock. Ramel Ross did get on the first time list at DGA. I don't think it carries as much weight, but Payal Kapadi is also there, and people have her getting in. So I don't think this is sewn up just because we have the same nominations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my issue is Emilia Perez and Conclave are going to do very well. Nomination morning. I can't take them out with their movies being so high in the Best Picture race.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I think that other directors had more phenomenal work last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at. And yeah. Again, I think it's just the support with The Substance that people are loving her and going back and watching her other works and just seeing how bold she is as a director, Coralie. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping for something different there, even though she wasn't in any of the DGA listing.
Yeah, she's a director I feel like who was, the way we think about it is she's always going to miss DGA and then she could appear at Oscar mm-hmm. just with that branch and the international support. Like if we think about Jonathan Glazer and Justine Triet last year not making DGA but then getting in at Oscar, it's a possibility. Yeah, I mean, Edward Berger is a tricky one because I keep thinking to myself, is this a case of like, is this a case of Kenneth Branagh for Belfast, where we all thought, you know, he could miss. There's nothing special about this. It's very straightforward, up the middle, but people really like it and he can get in. Or is there this thing where it's not time to welcome Edward Berger into the club just yet? And everything else here is a bit flashier and more different and has a very clear point of view. That's also possible. I just still have him in, again, the strength of the movie. I think people really like it, and I think he'll get in after not getting in for All Quiet on the Western Front. But yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't feel quite right to me. Something is off. And I don't know what it is just yet. But I think there's a way Ramel Ross could get in. But that movie's performance has been so up and down. It could be like The Tree of Life, but he's also not Terrence Malick and doesn't have that kind of history. So I don't know.
Five first-time nominees.
Is that right? That's the other thing. Yeah, that's the other thing, which is even crazier that Denis Villeneuve isn't here.
Yeah.
And didn't get in a DGA.
Yeah. Okay, and then last but not least, we have Picture, our precursor. We had the Golden Globe, which the Brutalist won there, along with Emilia Perez in the drama and then comedy musical categories. And we have the Producers Guild of America, the PGA. Their nominations have been delayed also. So we will see. I think it was potentially this past week, but we will see. Who do you have predicted here?
I have Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, A Real Pain, The Substance, and Wicked.
We are 9 for 10. I have Sing Sing instead of A Real Pain. I had A Real Pain in, I think, the past few weeks. Just, you know, I think it could win in screenplay, which could boost it and get it a picture nomination. I've been holding out on Sing Sing for far too long. You've also mentioned today that Nickel Boys is in danger. It really comes down to those three for me, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dune Part 2 could underperform, but I don't think we take away a picture nomination for that. So a lot of this will depend on PGA, I think. You know, last year we had a 10 for 10 from that branch. And if that changes, we will probably change them after we finish this recording. But I don't know. Talk about A Real Pain, I guess, since that's our big difference.
Yeah, I think the reason why I went with A Real Pain here is because we have a winner. It's pretty much guaranteed that Kieran Culkin's going to win supporting actor. So that gives me more confidence to put that in, as opposed to something like Sing Sing, which has had so many stumbles throughout the season. And if it can't get into SAG Ensemble, Clarence Macklin can't get in, it's a bit shaky in certain places where we feel good about Kieran Culkin and we feel good about original screenplay. That makes me feel better about A Real Pain here. Nickel Boys, the reason why I'm putting that in, call it delusion on my part, I don't know. There are two things. One, I think that the people who love it will stump for it. It's the type of movie that inspires passion, and I think it will get number one votes to get in. And I'm also kind of banking on it having the women talking path, which is, it's an MGM Orion release, and it gets into adapted screenplay and best picture. And that's it.
Hopefully cinematography,
please. My God, please. I know.
Yeah, it feels like we're like grasping at straws more with these movies. And yeah, it could come down to something really small. Your reasoning behind A Real Pain is correct. We have a winner there. I'm just rooting for Sing Sing. I don't know. It was one of my favorite, at least top 10 movies of the year. And just, I think, as awestruck by that as other people were by A Real Pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of just going with myself here. Probably not smart, but I'll stick with it. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
You never know. I mean, it's like, it could be any of them. That's the thing. Yeah. That's hard, I think, right now. And I think you, unfortunately, well, we both, right? You love Sing Sing. I love Nickel Boys. It's like these two bubble movies that we're just throwing our weight behind and hoping people have seen them and love them too. So
yeah,
it's hard.
Well, that was great. 20 feature categories. We didn't talk about the shorts, but those short lists are out. Some of them are available online to watch on YouTube or Vimeo or other places. I've been trying to get to some of those, but nomination morning, we will hear what those nominees are. we'll start our watching and we will be getting into our contender series. So I'm excited that this is, you know, our season and it's really underway.
This was really fun to get to go through these and just talk about them, go category by category. We will keep updating our website. So with all of these guild nominations being postponed, go to our website too to check for the most up-to-date predictions. We'll have those, I think, down to the wire there. I try to not update them within 24 hours of the nomination announcement. Just let them sit there and leave them, but we'll see. Nominations at this point are scheduled for Thursday, January 23rd at 5:30 a.m. Pacific. So we will be up and ready to go for those. It's a little easier for us here on the East Coast for sure with that time zone. But yeah, I'm excited for these. And again, what's been kind of a bizarre all over the place award season, excited to see them. But also we're thinking of our friends and colleagues and of course the industry in LA, everyone who's been affected by the fires. Again, we've posted links to donate in the description. So please check those out and donate if you can.
Definitely. Thank you all for listening. Feel free to rate, review, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, and TikTok. You mentioned our website. That's at oscarwild.squarespace.com. And we have bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/oscarwild. We will have a fun episode coming and a poll to see who we should cover again this season, like we did last year. That was really fun. In terms of who's a nominee and some of their previous work.
I love doing that. And I'll say now, I hope Guy Pearce gets in so we can do a Guy Pearce episode. But there will be a lot of options. So I'm looking forward to that. But thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.